everyone, to another episode of For the Love of Cinema. We are coming at you live from Washington, Pennsylvania. Beautiful Washington, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I'm here with you. I'm here. My name is Grayson Maxwell. I'm here with my buddy Nick Morris. Nick, say hello.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to my neck of the woods. How we doing?
I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. You filled your stomach with wonderful mashed potatoes, turkey gravy, stuffing, cranberry sauce. I gotta have the cranberry sauce.
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta have the cranberry sauce.
Green bean casserole. Come on now.
You got green bean casserole. There's so many good things. Rolls with butter. Oh my goodness. What else are we forgetting?
You know what's very underrated? King's Hawaiian rolls. Now.
Like the sweet Hawaiian bread?
Yes.
Oh, it's sweet. Like it's got like a sweet glaze to it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So good. It's delicious. Yeah. I hope you guys all had a great Thanksgiving. And we gotta look forward to next year's Thanksgiving. It's gonna be a long time away. It's my favorite holiday. I love to eat mashed potatoes and gravy. It's the best. But anyway, so we're gonna get into lots of cool stuff. But first, the box office. One thing I should mention about this episode: we recorded it at different times, so I apologize if the sound quality is different. Unfortunately, the times didn't work out to record what we needed to with the information available, so we have to jump around and record different segments at different times. I obviously learned a lesson this week, but please bear with us. And Coco, number one. I don't think anyone is really surprised by that. Huge movie. Modest opening. No budget given, production budget. Worldwide, $155 million. That's not bad, actually. That's well on its way to making a ton of money. Especially going into the holiday season, people are going to have more and more free time as they get off school. They get a few days off work, maybe a week off work. I'm sure people will see this multiple times. Coco, no surprise there, number one. Justice League, number two this week, number one last week. No budget given. Worldwide, $482 million. That's not bad. But it's interesting to note here, the domestic take is $171. Foreign take is $311 million. I thought that'd be interesting to note that the domestic was not as popular as the foreign take. People are enjoying it. That shows that American audiences aren't enjoying either Justice League or the DC Universe as much as the Marvel movies, other than the foreign market. It's worth noting, of course. And I think that they want it to be well above $500 million at this point, given how big that movie is when it released. Number three, Wonder. I'm really glad to see Wonder's in the top three. It's a lesser-known movie than a lot of the movies in the top 10 list. It's no budgets given. Worldwide brought in $70 million. Domestic is $69 million of that. Foreign, less than $1 million. No surprise there. With stars like Julia Roberts, Owen Wilson, Jacob Tremblay. Director Stephen Chbosky, I think, really knocks this one out of the park. Jacob Tremblay is amazing, by the way. He is a wonderful, wonderful actor. I hope to see more from him. But I wonder, number three. Thor Ragnarok, number four, it fell one spot from last week. $180 million production budget. Worldwide, $791 million. That's a great number. I'm sure the studio is very happy with that. Also to note, the foreign market for this one is also more. But the domestic is $277, foreign is $513. That's interesting to note that the rest of the world, I guess, there's more markets, what we call foreign, rather than just, it's not just one country. As in the United States is just one country, but there's tons of foreign, so that's doing well. Good job, Thor. Doing well. Daddy's Home 2, number 5 this week, number 4 last week. $69 million budget, $73 million is brought in with huge cast. Mark Wahlberg, Will Ferrell, Mel Gibson, John Lithgow, John Cena. Huge cast, lots of testosterone flying around. Good for you guys, Dad. Good for you guys in Daddy's Home. I hope that movie hits the $80 or $90 million mark, and maybe with going into the bulk of the holiday, it will. You never know. Murder on the Orient Express, number five this week. Number six this week. Number five last week. $55 million production budget, $197 million worldwide, just shy of $200 million. Not bad. Not bad at all. The foreign market actually brought in almost twice what the domestic market did. That's worthy of note as well, given the characters of Poirot. That's from the Agatha Christie novels. So I'm very, very happy with the movie, what this movie has brought in based on the budget. Kenneth Branagh has to be happy. You know, everyone in this movie is a household name, almost stars. So everyone, I mean, people across the board have to be happy with that. The star, seven this week, six last week, $20 million budget, brought in $23 million. Notable voice cast, Anthony Anderson, Kristen Chenoweth, Gabriel Iglesias, Chris Christopherson, Tracy Morgan, Tyler Perry, Christopher Plummer, Ving Rhames, Oprah Winfrey, all voices in this movie. Not doing great, but not doing terrible either, I guess. Bad Moms Christmas. Rated R comedy, $28 million budget, $92 million worldwide. The domestic market here is much bigger, as you might have guessed. And hopefully we get a bad grandma's vacation in Vegas, as this movie leads right into the possible sequel, which I hope we do get. Number 9, Roman J. Israel Esquire. That's Denzel Washington. $22 million budget. So far has brought in just shy of 7, just 6.2 million. Not great. But with perhaps just not open wide, I'm sure that Denzel, given the wider release, will bring in more people. Denzel, Colin Farrell, both are huge names. Number 10, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. A smaller little movie. Big cast, though. Woody Harrelson, Sam Rockwell, Abby Cornish, Peter Dinklage, Frances McDormand. I can't imagine that, given what else is out there right now, this is on people's radar as far as getting a group of friends together to go see, especially with Thor out there, with Justice League out there. I feel like those are taking the big market shares, but maybe after those die down, this one will pick up. I hope it will. From what I've heard, it's actually pretty good. I've not had the chance to see it yet, but will certainly in the weeks to come. And some other notable ones. The Man Who Invented Christmas, number 12. Blade Runner, 2049, number 13. Jigsaw, number 15. It is still in top 20, number 19 this week. And the Lego Ninjago movie, number 20. That's still holding on.
And for those of you planning out your movie watching, we have November 24th, which came out this week, Darkest Hour, The Man Who Invented Christmas, The Current War, Polaroid, December 1st, December's creeping up right on us, He's Out There, Wonder Wheel, The Shape of Water, Limited, Disaster Artist, opens Limited, December 8th, The Shape of Water goes a little wider, Just Getting Started, and I, Tonya. And December 15th, I know a lot of you are looking forward to Star Wars, The Last Jedi, Ferdinand, and Gotti. I'll be honest, does anyone care about Gotti?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I'm a little worried about that, truth be told. But there are definitely some Gotti fans out there. I'm not one of them, but I'll have to view the original again. But I'm looking forward to that, actually. December 20th to 22nd, Jumanji, The Greatest Showman, Pitch Perfect 3, Downsizing, Father Figure. Big week there, Nick. Let me tell you something.
Huge week. And we're not talking about Downsizing. Just kidding.
It's a big week. A lot of interesting movies come out that week. December 25th, Christmas Day, Phantom Thread and Molly's Game. I know we said it before. It just seems like an odd choice for Christmas movies.
But it is an interesting movie, to say the least. But yes, you're right. Odd choice. Christmas Day choice.
I would definitely have thought The Greatest Showman would have been a Christmas Day release. Mm-hmm. It seems like just that. It seems like perfect candidate for, you know, singing and dancing. We actually have more on that today, talking about it, how it got turned into a musical as opposed to a regular biopic. So that's exciting. And January 5th, we're creeping up into January. Molly's Game goes wider. And Insidious, The Last Key. Those Insidious movies scare the crap out of me.
They don't scare the crap out of me, but they're pretty scary. They're up there. But yeah, that's turn of the century, I guess.
I'm really excited for that. I just like being scared, you know, especially a good horror movie. There's one on Netflix right now, Bedeviled.
I've seen that many times and I've stopped on it.
I've started it, got about 45 minutes into it, and just had zero interest to continue. Yeah. Like, zero.
Oh, man. I give those Netflix movies at least 10 minutes in,
And I say, maybe I can finish it, maybe I can't. 10 minutes, let's see.
Speaking of Netflix stuff, though, you know what I started was that show Godless.
Okay, yeah.
About the Wild West.
I've heard a lot of buzz about that.
My goodness, the first 10 minutes are intense.
Yeah.
Starts with a bunch of dudes, like a... We're focusing on one man, one older gentleman. He's riding with a posse through a town. There's smoke and there's, you know, you're not quite sure what he's going to find. People are dead everywhere. A train's been derailed. Just massive death everywhere.
Wow.
And then he's looking around for a soul. Can't find anyone. There's not a soul around. Looks up. He just sees a boy hanging from a high train post. And then the opening starts. But that's an intense first few minutes.
Jesus.
That really throws you into the world pretty quick. But I'm enjoying it. I'm 2 episodes in. Can't say I'm loving it, but I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
So it's keeping my interest so far. A buddy recommended it to me, and he didn't have the highest recommendation, but he said it's entertaining. At least the first season so far is entertaining. So I'm gonna keep going until I really kind of like, don't want to watch it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, there's so much to watch these days. If it's not catching your attention, move on.
Yeah. Speaking of stuff to watch on Netflix, Punisher. I actually just finished that.
Oh my god. You're like the fifth person in like 48 hours to tell me The Punisher. I have to watch Punisher.
Yes,
I have to.
Yes, of course.
Is that Joe Barenthal?
John Barenthal.
Oh,
yes.
John Barenthal. That's the dude from Walking Dead, right?
Mm-hmm. Walking Dead, Wall Street.
He's making quite a name for himself. He's climbing up there.
Yeah, he really is. And I like it. The Punisher, I think it's a fantastic role for him. He fits in there. Yeah, great. Like a puzzle piece that you just couldn't find. It's the last puzzle piece. And where is it? Is it on the floor in the box? I don't know. Boom! It's John Bernthal right there.
Bernthal. You know what? Him and Frank Grillo, they've been kind of like, they've been having not main roles, but like the secondary, like the set that like this. If there was another leading man or something, they'd be it. Like the next. Down build guy, supporting. Sorry, that's what I was looking for. Supporting male character. They've both been doing that for a while, and the Frank Grillo was in one of the Captain America movies. Then he moved in and he became in one of the. Now he's big in one of the Avenger movies. Now he's in the show Wheelman, that's from, that's on Netflix as well. But they've both been kind of moving their way up.
I watched. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but I watched a movie with him on Netflix, and I forget what it was. Wolf Warrior 2, maybe? I think it was Wolf Warrior 2, something like that.
I mean, did you like it?
Yeah.
It sounds like one of those weird...
Yeah, exactly. It was very weird. And, well, I mean, it had a lot of action in it, and it was right in, his wheelhouse.
Oh, good.
But,
it's nice to see everyone like getting tons of work. I like because then, you just sometimes you see a movie on Netflix, like, I don't know who's in that, and you watch it because of that.
Exactly.
I get that all the time. All right, so we have, we have countdowns. We have The Shape of Water, Disaster Week. That's 1 week. The Disaster Artist, 1 week away. I, Tonya, 2 weeks away. Star Wars, Last Jedi, just 3 weeks. Man, we're really coming up on Star Wars. Jumanji, The Greatest Showman, Downsizing. 4 weeks. Phantom Thread, Molly's Game, 5 weeks. We're creeping up on Christmas, folks. It's here. We just had Thanksgiving. Everyone's trees are up. People are in full shopping mode. Crazy. Speaking of, Black Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly. I went with a buddy of mine because I hadn't seen him for a while. Like that was like, that would count as our hangout time to do. Went to Best Buy, mobbed. mobbed.
Oh, God.
Like, I did not want to, I was worried I was going to get stabbed or punched in the face, mobbed. But they had nice TVs.
Mm-hmm.
They had a huge sale on TVs, of course. It was like a 50-inch 5K or 4K TV Samsung for like $350, which is a hell of a deal.
Yeah.
So everyone were like trying to get those TVs.
That's fine, man. They have those deals out there, and you can't beat them, especially on Black Friday.
No, it's just like, from what I heard, though, Black Friday's kind of lost its allure lately.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, have you ever been involved in any Black Friday shopping?
I have not.
You've never been in the hysteria, the madness, pushing people out of the way, people in line, people trying to lie to get ahead of line. Never been a part of that.
Nope.
You are better for it.
I've never been part of that dangerous sport that people go on. It's like hunting experience, I'm guessing. You're always hunting for that perfect gift for someone. But
cheaper, too.
Yeah, cheaper.
And like TVs, that's the big deal. And TVs are just like insane. I know the people in my office were, one of the people in my accounting team, and everyone was crowding around this TV, and they all found a good deal. And I know within 4 hours, most of the people in the office had purchased that TV. But it was a Black Friday price, but they were able to have it delivered to their house on Black Friday.
Whoa.
So like you don't have to leave your house anymore, Nick. It's crazy.
Oh, what? That's blowing my mind. I can shop from home on Black Friday.
On Black Friday. Get Black Friday prices. Never have to go through the madness. Never have to sift through the people. Then you're going to get stabbed in the side. Never going to happen to you. Just shop online.
This world is changing, man. For the better.
I know, for the better. I would definitely not say for the better, but this net neutrality thing, I can't imagine. That's a whole different issue. There's not a podcast about that, but this is a big deal.
It's some crazy stuff going down.
It's funny how reliant we are on the internet in this country, and how, like, I'm guessing that if people, when this bill passes and you have to pay for everything a la carte, all the things you do, like packages, can't visit that site, you don't have that package, or you have to pay for it separately, it's going to change a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's a lot of YouTubers upset about it because people aren't going to pay to watch YouTube anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they're just not going to happen. So a lot of people are going to lose money because people aren't watching their channel, they're watching their content. I know that's a big deal. But here's the thing. I have to ask you, and I ask everyone to think about this. Are they mad for selfish reasons? Or are they mad because they legitimately have a right to be mad? I don't think they have a right to be mad. That's my personal opinion. I'm not trying to force anyone else. What do you think, Nick?
You know, it's weird because the internet is this huge platform.
It's this Wild West. You can't...
Exactly.
You can't... No one owns it. I mean, Al Gore invented it. You can't tame it. He didn't invent it. I'm joking, but he said he did. You can't... No one owns it. It's just unrestricted highway of information that you can find anything on.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's crazy. I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist here, but the dark web, man, that's a whole other thing. And that's kind of... You know, people pay for stuff on different sites on the dark web.
You know, I've heard of the dark web, the deep web. I don't know what... I mean, look, I'm just going to stay on the not deep web.
Yeah. So what do we do? What do we do about this? You know, the not deep web, you know, are they...
I don't know. I don't think it... Because there is a huge outcry. Like, this is going to be a big deal if that... Like, this country will rally and unite behind an internet. I mean, if this country's ever rally united, it will happen when this internet thing gets passed. Because everyone relies so heavily on it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. I can't even... This world's going to be very different here very soon if we don't... Maybe that's not... Anyway, Black Friday. You know, crazy shopping. Crazy shopping. I'll tell you what, though. Some cool news in the movie world. Jude Law played Captain Marvel.
Mm.
He has been all but confirmed in casting. There is... I know I saw... There's a picture of him on a set, so it's been all but confirmed that he's Captain Marvel, but he is Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. He's opposite Brie Larson in the Captain Marvel movie. Larson plays Danvers. She has DNA of a Kree warrior, and she plays opposite him, so that would be cool. Not much is known about that yet. Ben Mendelsohn, he signed on to play the villain. Of that movie. Well, I mean, I don't know if it's official, but that was, like, again, it's all but official.
Yeah.
So that's cool. But that's big news for Jude Law, who's also young Dumbledore. I mean, those are two big roles
for him to take on. Yes, and that is awesome. Kudos to him.
Jude Law is one of those guys that just, for a while, for me, just like, where are you, Jude Law? Like, what have you...
It feels like he should be doing more work, but maybe, yeah, maybe he's more of an artist looking for...
The right role, rather than...
Yeah.
Taking everything, like, I'll take that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, just how you, it's you know, you only have one life.
Yeah, exactly.
You only have the choices you make. Jurassic World sequel, we all knew it was coming. The other one made over $1 billion. We all knew it was coming. There's new footage. Chris Pratt. There's like a 7-second tweet sent out of Chris Pratt, like, sitting down petting what looks to me like a small, like a really young raptor. It's kind of playing on the, you know, you want to pet a cute puppy, but it's a, you know, it's a raptor.
It's a raptor, yeah.
So I think it's a raptor anyway. It just says, the tweet says it's a young dino. So we don't know what it is, but that's pretty cool. That was the first footage of the, in the article it was saying, there was an article, it was talking about that has been extracted from a trailer. So okay. you're not seeing any footage that wouldn't have been leaked soon anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that's cool if you're a big Jurassic World fan. It made over $1 billion. People are going to love it. So
that's exciting.
I think so. It's got a summer 2018 release. So I love how people always talk about putting up, like, people are always angry about putting up Christmas decorations like November 1st or like October, like 31st. Like, just, but people all never get mad about talking like the summer movies in November.
Yes. Yep.
I mean, talk about the Christmas movies. They're next on our docket.
It's the same thing with the Christmas music too.
Like, it starts immediately. Oh my goodness. In October, there was, in one of the malls, that has one of the movie theaters connected to it that I go to in Chicago, it just started playing, we haven't even got Halloween yet, and it was Christmas music playing. Wait, you can't just skip a holiday. You can't just skip an entire month of what happens.
That's crazy. We got Thanksgiving.
That's right.
I need to eat.
I don't love things like I love to eat. Let me tell you something. Justice League. So there's the whole thing behind the Justice League about, there's a rumor there was a bigger cut. There was a 3-hour cut because the Justice League movie is just right around the 2-hour mark, give or take a few minutes. There's a rumor there's a much bigger cut because there's all kinds of footage in the trailers that we didn't see the origin of. And this, yes. So there's rumors that there's an entire thing going around. I don't think that's true. I came across an article that was talking. There's a VFX technician that said that's not even remotely true. The person that started this rumor has no facts to base it on. I mean, now keep in mind that Zack Snyder had done this before with Batman vs Superman. Mm-hmm. The extended release or the extended DVD Blu-ray. Is extended not by like a few minutes here and there, like the Jackson style, you know, you put 6 minutes in and like, but like 30 seconds here, 40, it's like, it's substantially longer, like, how much, it's like 20 wow. minutes longer, something like that, 25 minutes longer. It's a, but it tells, it's a much better movie than the theatrical cut. Motivations are explained, expanded upon, you understand, especially Lex Luthor's motivation, but the whole thing with Zack Snyder's daughter, this, and then he had to walk away from Justice League. Joss Whedon picking up Justice League. Unfortunately, that happened. You know, certainly our prayers with his family. That unfortunate incident with his daughter. He had to step away. So there may be a director's cut coming, but as of right now, there is no longer cut planned. But I think it'd be a bad bet to say there will not be a director's cut later.
Yeah, so. I could see that because, and I actually have a. They were written down because I thought that too. Did people not like going to see two-hour movies? I know people don't want to sit in a theater for that long, but
well, no, I think with the movie like Justice League, I think the fans prefer it to be longer because there's so much lore that you can't possibly fit. I mean, there's so many comic books. I mean, to fit all the backstories, the movie would have to be like 25 hours long.
Yeah.
To do justice for all the comic book fans, but you can't do that, obviously. Pick and choose your battles as a screenwriter, as a director, you have to choose what you highlight, what you don't highlight. So that's a big deal. And personally, we're gonna get into it. Personally, I was not happy with Justice League. I mean, I liked it. I like comic book movies. I like to watch these heroes come up against bigger, badder baddies and triumph. But as a whole movie, if we're talking about it from a film point of view, I did not like it. From my point of view, I loved it. I love. You know, when Superman came back, I cheered. I was the only one cheering. Why am I the only one cheering here, you guys? Come on. That was cool. We're getting into that.
Yeah.
The Greatest Showman. It's a story of P.T. Barnum and the beginnings of his circus. What I love most about this is it didn't start as a musical. Nick, did you know this?
I didn't know that.
It started as a regular movie. Not on, because you're going to say,
well,
but.
Well, leading man is quite the.
The Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, he can sing.
The man can.
He did great. He got the pipes, and, you know, obviously we can tell in the trailer that.
God, Hugh Jackman, even in Les Mis, he was amazing. Like, he was one of the few great things of that movie, Les Mis. Mm-hmm. Russell Crowe, not so much. Russell, don't quit your day job to sing, please. It's not, you know, you don't need to do that.
We keep it.
But Hugh Jackman definitely has talent there. Mm-hmm. And what I love the most is they changed the story to be the writers changed the story. And this movie was going through a lot of development hell. It started, it stopped, it got delayed.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally changed it to a musical. And here's the best part. The person who says, I'm going to read this verbatim. This is why it got changed into a musical. It's a story that exists in this fantastical, larger-than-life world. P.T. Barnum was a man who was not defined by the world that he lived in. He was really a dreamer, and he wanted the world to exist as is. Not to exist as is, but what it could be. When a character is so inspired, they can just speak their emotions. The world provides justification for why singing can exist, to express the outsized emotions. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So they changed it to a musical to capture that magic that he did with the with the circus. That's awesome.
Exactly. Like, that gives you a whole other feeling for
this really
movie.
It really does. So, and believe it or not, I really am a big believer that The Greatest Showman is going to do gangbusters this Christmas. It's going to be sold out. The first week, you're going to have a hard time finding a decent seat. One that's not like up front or like on the wings.
Yeah.
I really do think that. And the duo who wrote some of the songs from La La Land have written some of the songs for this. So, and we all knew the La La Land song. What was the title? It just escaped me. You know, if I hadn't needed to know the title, I would have known it. City of Stars. City of Stars. Yeah. That one won an award, got tons of recognition. So hopefully, they are able to make magic again. Mm. So. Awesome. And one last piece of news here. Star Wars. Always Star Wars in the news. Mark Hamill. Actually, mark it. This is like the third week without Terminator news. Put it on the calendar. Wow, it's never going to happen again.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that at
all. Or second week. Second week. Never going to happen again. Mark Hamill has sent out a tweet personally asking people when they see the movie to not tweet out events of the movie, not spill it on social media. Mark Hamill, you're dreaming, man.
Yeah. Sorry, Mark.
You're swinging a big stick there, little guy.
Get the net neutrality on now. We need it.
That's what I don't understand. Mark Hamill is someone I don't get. You know, he's one of the few people in the acting world who's like, Mark Hamill is way less important than Luke Skywalker. Mm-hmm. As, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He needs to understand that Luke Skywalker is, I mean, an entire generations, not just one generation, but like, have... That's their favorite trilogy. It's a favorite, mm-hmm. you know, and rightfully so. But Mark Hamill needs to realize that he's not as important as his character.
Yeah, there's the portion where the actor isn't as important as the hero, and I think that's what we're getting at.
And I would have thought Han Solo would have been the same way. Harrison Ford was less important than Han Solo, but I mean that's
debatable.
Mark Hamill didn't really have a career outside of Star Wars.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. He did a couple voiceovers for...
Oh, great. Wonderful. But he didn't have like, you can't name me three other movies he was in without looking it up.
No,
you can't
I can't.
My point. So, and then he goes on, and the article goes on to talk about the golden rule. Don't spoil a movie you wouldn't want spoiled for you, which I can understand. But there's also that unwritten rule that if you don't see a movie within... X number of weeks of release, it's kind of your own fault being spoiled.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what I'm always harping on, legacy movies. What's so important you can't find 2 hours some night or some morning if you really want to see something, to see it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand people are busy. I understand people's lives are hectic. You know, you have kids. You have whatever, you know, you have tons of work. I get it, you know, different shifts. But if you want to see something so bad, you make it happen. That's just always meant to me. Like, if I want to see a movie... Nothing's going to stop me from seeing that movie.
Exactly.
Like, nothing.
There was weeks at a time where I didn't see Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And I forget what week it was in. It definitely wasn't the first 5 weeks. But I was like, okay, Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm going to take it off my list.
But you can't be mad when you hear spoilers.
Exactly. That's my point. And I'm never super mad. In fact, if someone goes and sees a movie that I already know I'm probably not going to watch, I say, hey, tell me the ending. Ruin it for me. I don't care.
It doesn't stop me from watching. It really doesn't. We're talking about some trailers. We have Shape of Water, Guillermo del Toro. Love that guy. He makes solid gold. We have Richard Jenkins, Sally Hawkins, Michael Shannon, Octavia Spencer. I tried to extrapolate what I could tell the stories about just from this trailer. A mute employee who is lonely without many, many friends discovers a secret experiment and learns that she can communicate with it. What's interesting here is who's the main character, and I think the line a lot of people may not be paying attention to in the trailer is Richard Jenkins' character says, "If I told you about her, the princess without a voice, what would you say?" So we got to remember the movie's about her.
Yes,
it's not about, you know, she is the central character.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of people think the creature would be, but they're telling us right here that it's not, so that's cool.
She has I wouldn't say character flaws, but character traits that make her character more powerful in
her that world. Will be the thing. It's
yeah.
Her unspoken power is going to be. And I like it how she's kind of isolated by, she's living in her own little world, a small, almost, he's in a tank of water, isolated. She's not, but she's isolated by, you know, friends, can't communicate properly to people. It's harder for, they're both isolated. It's kind of like where, you know, there's the parallel there.
Yeah.
That's cool. And the art design, obviously from Hellboy. I've heard a lot of fan theories, and by fan theories I mean people I work with, about this is a prequel to Hellboy. So that's kind of cool. I mean, even if it's completely fan theory and made up and stretched, I'm okay with it. It's cool.
But that is very interesting.
I definitely think so.
Sea creature.
Especially if someone calls it Abe. then it's definitely going to be confirmed that it's...
Why don't we name this creature real quick?
What do you think? Abe? Abe's good. Yeah.
After Abraham Lincoln.
There you go. And then there's Rampage, directed by Brad Peyton. We have Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Malin Ackerman, Naomi Harris. Here's the plot. Rampaging monsters wreak havoc on a city. Done.
Yeah.
So you throw the Rock in there, you throw some collapsing buildings in the background, you got a movie.
You know, you got a 50-foot wolf and you're just trying to train as a dog. It's not working out.
No, I would say that's a lost cause.
It looks fun.
It's based off a 1980s game. It's by the same name, Rampage. You just destroy a city. It's cool. I'm assuming this movie will make hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not, you know, millions and millions and millions. So that's good. I will watch it.
Oh yeah.
Who's not going to watch it? You know.
I mean, I've come to this point where I'm a fan of Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Oh, he's awesome.
And I have I don't know everything he's in, but he'll just be on screen and he'll surprise me. Yeah.
I love Jeffrey Dean Morgan moment. I love him the most. And it's a terrible movie, is that the Red Dawn remake.
Okay.
When him and his military dudes have like hooked up with these kids who are like leading the rebellion, and they're like headstrong, and they have a plan. One of them's on top of a building, and they talk out this carefully laid out plan, and then one of the kids just goes off and makes a stupid headstrong move. And then Jeffrey Dean Morgan turns to his friends like, "Hate these kids. Hate them." That's my favorite Jeffrey Dean Morgan moment. And Negan, of course.
Walking Dead, shout out to you, Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Killing it.
Killing it, man. And there's another Wrinkle in Time trailer. Wrinkle in Time, directed by Ava DuVernay. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing that name. Chris Pine, Reese Witherspoon, Gugu Mbatha-Raw, Zach Galifianakis, Michael Pena, and Oprah. When her father disappears, Meg goes looking for him and for the reason of his disappearance into another world. We've seen a trailer for this movie already. This trailer makes it look incredibly darker than it was, which I'm a fan of.
Mm-hmm.
I think my initial reaction is this is going to be a surprise hit.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. It looks like it's going to... I don't know if it's going to be a surprise hit. I think it's just going to be a hit. When they're walking in there, and they're, well, maybe not walking, maybe they just transformed into this cul-de-sac, and where every family on the block is out. The kids just bouncing the ball. I think the parents are in the garage or something.
Yeah, but those are creepy kids. Let's not forget they're creepy kids.
They're very creepy kids.
Yeah, they're creepy kids.
They're all wearing almost the same colors.
All bouncing the ball at the same time. Yeah. That's, you pulled into a neighborhood and you saw kids, done. I'm going to go somewhere else, guys.
I'm gonna turn around real quick.
I'm going to go to Panda Express, get some food. I'll come back when you guys are not being creepy, okay?
But yeah, dude, this movie looks interesting. And
The book was assigned reading for, I remember assigned reading for maybe something in middle school, 6th or 7th grade. I can't remember which, but it was definitely assigned reading. It's been since then since I've read it, so I have not read it since. But I know the book is a big hit, so I'm sure this will be no different. Mm-hmm. And it's long overdue, I think. That a book as popular as this because it's been assigned to most kids in middle school.
Yeah,
it's long overdue for. I mean, it can't be worse than Timeline. Nothing can be worse than Timeline. Sorry, Paul Walker.
Oh God,
the movie was awful. Gerard Butler's in that. All right.
The movie is interesting. Has a good couple bit of stars in there.
Several, but it's just the book was too big for that movie to be as short as it was. There's some interesting lines, at least ones that I love. Love is always there, even if you can't see it. That's what he says to his daughter. And her dad, there's a line that's someone is saying to her, it looks like her mother is saying it to her. I'm trying to remember. Her mother is saying it to one of her friends. She says to her dad, he wanted to touch the star. Like, that's cool because there's, like, some other world existence that's, like, kind of a magic thing there, which is what I'm looking forward to the most. And the only way, and there's the print on in the trailer, like, the how it shows an action scene, cuts to black and says this, the only way to defeat the darkness is to become the light, which is an awesome line. I hope they use it. I mean, there are lots of awesome trailers that the movie is crappy, but like the trailer's like says something like that, like, oh, I'm excited for that, and then it's just crappy. But I hope it's really good. I want it to be good.
I like the way she explained time travel by getting the fastest way for one ant to reach the other palm. You know? You think straightforward.
It's not always a straight point A to point B, a straight line, not always the fastest way there. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's 2018 release. I'm sure it's going to be amazing. Moving on to The Wonder. Here's a movie I was excited about initially. I think the excitement is well founded. It looks to be a decent movie. And what I was worried about, it was just going to be run of the mill, average, nothing different about it than any other movies like that, but I'm happy that that is not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Very happy. What are your initial reactions?
Well, it's not your average Diary of a Wimpy Kid. This movie was heartfelt. I believe it had a couple underlying tones of obviously ways to deal with bullies, you know, as a child, I guess.
More than underlying tones, I mean, they were.
It was straight up.
Yeah. Julian, the kind of the villain of this movie was, he was an awful kid.
He was a two-faced bastard, Grayson.
He's a terrible kid. My goodness, man. He just teased Augie Wilson, relentlessly. As you know, going into it, Augie is a kid with kind of some deformities, and he looks very much different than other kids. And obviously the story is him going to school for the first time, and rather, it quickly becomes not him conforming to society, but society kind of learning to accept him for what he is.
Mm-hmm.
There's no difference to him. Outside of his physical appearance, there's no difference. He's a sweet kid. You know, smart, sweet. There's nothing, I mean, it really is kind of one of those uplifting, although it won't seem like it at times in the movie, very uplifting movies. And knocks it out of the park.
Yeah.
Knocks it out of the park.
Augie, you know, he learns through trials and tribulations. You know, not everyone's going to be nice. You just got to get through it. You know, don't let a little bit of spilled milk
sour your day.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. 27 surgeries, man. 27 surgeries.
I can't imagine. So, okay, we're going to get back to that point in 1 minute, but Jacob Tremblay, plays Augie. Owen Wilson, Nate. Isabel Vidovic, his sister Via. Julia Roberts plays his mother, Isabel. And we have... It took me a minute to identify this guy. Mr. Tushman, Mr. Buttman, as the kids call him. Mr. Tushman, Mandy Patinkin. I like him. It took me a minute, like, I couldn't figure out where I knew him from, but he was Criminal Minds. If you've watched a lot of Criminal Minds, he was on there, Gideon, for a while. That's it took me a while, but that huge Father Time beard, I couldn't, like, I was like, I have him somewhere. So, getting back to what you said, 27 surgeries. Augie was born, and his whole family was in the delivery room as he was born, and rushed out of the room without his parents being able to see him. There was trouble. He's had tons of surgeries. He does not look normal. He has had surgeries to see properly, to hear properly, to look somewhat like other kids look, trying to get him closer to that. And he wears a space helmet. The second movie on this podcast, we talked about a character preferring to be in an astronaut suit. The other one was Everything, Everything. She was literally quarantined her whole life. And, you know, so it was a spaceman. He's quarantined to his. So that's there. Augie wants to wear the space helmet all the time. Well, he'd want to wear a space suit as long as he could, but the helmet is what he's got. Kind of how he deal in the beginning is how he deals with the world. If he figures that people can't see him, they can't make fun of him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but that's something that he has to learn to deal with himself.
Yeah.
He's got to accept himself and not care about what bullies say. But
it's a way of learning that, you know, I don't want to say it, but because it'll sound kind of mean. But, you know, well, don't judge a book by its cover, obviously.
No, of course, of course.
Don't judge someone by their looks. You know, if they have a mess up face, scars, or whatever, you know, you don't judge that. You get to know the person, and then you judge them, right?
Yeah, and then judge them. If they warrant judgment then by all means, judge them then. Of course.
There was a couple things in here. You know, a bunch of enjoyable things. You got Owen Wilson, which he didn't play as big of a... It was the supporting father role, obviously. It didn't feel as Owen Wilson for me as Owen Wilson should be, I guess.
Well, it was much tamer.
Yeah.
Role. He wasn't rated R comedy. It wasn't, you know, it's a much tamer role. But he actually was one of the funniest guys in the movie. I love one of the lines. He's whispering something to Augie, and Augie's like, "Why are you whispering?" And Owen Wilson says, "Because I'm afraid of your mother."
I'd be afraid of Julia Roberts too, man.
Yeah,
she still got it. What? Speaking of,
I love the still got it meter by Nick.
It was a part of the movie where she's trying to figure out her thesis. Trying to get back into her whole game, and she pulls out a floppy disk, and then I believe her daughter's like, "What's that?"
Her daughter, who's like 13, is like, "What is that?" Like, it's set up where she's holding the floppy disk, and the shot is she's like, the floppy disk is in like the foreground, and the daughter's like in the background of the shot, and she holds the floppy disk, and then you see the daughter turn and goes, "What is that?" Like, she's never seen one. Like, she has no idea. Like, it's a piece of alien technology.
My God. I know what a floppy disk... Am I getting old? I know what a floppy disk is.
I mean, well, kids never had to use them. I can see why they wouldn't know what it was. Why would you?
Yeah.
You know, we've moved so far past it.
Oh, man. I've only used them once in a class in high school.
High school?
Yeah. It was for for lab. You know, something that I don't even remember. So it was not significant.
You know, I'm a little older. So I remember, like, do you remember when you were little, like, they told you the school supplies to have before you, like, you know, elementary school, middle school, like, you needed, like, three and a half by, I don't remember what they're called, like, three and a half A floppy disk or something?
Yeah.
You had to have a few of those to save your papers.
Oh, wow.
And then memory sticks became a thing. And
life got easier.
you paid like $40 for like 56 MB of storage, which is like you can pay $10 and get like 40 gigs now. You know, it's like crazy. But no, 3.5 floppy disks. Those are. I can understand how kids would not know what those are.
Oh, speaking of, you know, we've been talking about it the whole time, but I don't know if you noticed it, but I for sure noticed it. Wonder skips right over Thanksgiving.
Does it?
Yeah. It goes from Halloween right to Christmas time.
Well, in the story, Halloween and Christmas are relevant. Thanksgiving is not really relevant, I guess. Maybe. Because Thanksgiving, obviously, to Augie, because I think it's the one day he can, like, dress up. White Ghostface Killer. That's a weird choice. A weird, very weird choice, I thought. And there was multiple kids walking around the school as Ghostface Killer.
Yeah.
Even in today's world, there's no way those students would be able to walk around.
He wanted to be Boba Fett.
Oh, yeah. The dog threw up on the costume. But my point is, in today's world, there's no way you'd be able to walk around school with a Ghostface Killer hood on. No way they'd let you do that. No way.
Yeah, well, very true. I don't know, though.
Are you kidding me?
I've been out of grade school for a while. I mean, I was in middle school.
Try to walk in a movie theater with a mask on these days.
Well, come on. Now, that's a public place.
Fine. So is a school, though. I mean, not a public place, but, like, a public school is a public place, so.
Well, it's the difference between seeing a 6-foot person walk in to a grade school with a Ghostface Killer costume
and a fifth grader.
Fifth grader.
August 5th grade. Okay. Yeah.
Fifth grade. I remember those days.
Do you? Vividly? Because I don't.
I walked around with a... I'm saying this is my fifth grade Halloween costume. I believe I was deaf. And I had a black...
what a character for you, deaf. Who are you? I'm deaf.
And the face was blacked out, so it had like a little mesh face. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, I could hardly breathe.
It was worth it, though, because you're deaf.
It was worth it, yeah.
Can death breathe really good? No, probably not.
Of course not.
So, some points to hit on. I cannot say enough how much I love... We see Augie's first day, and it's an awful day for him.
Mm-hmm.
He is teased, zero friends. His parents drop him off at school, and then his mom... His parents pick him up, and he immediately puts the helmet back on. They can both tell it is not a good day. And then after we get through Augie's first day, and then we go back, we see Jack Will, one of his classmates' day, and we see his sister's day, and it gives us a much greater insight into the characters' roles. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it's weird. I think what makes this movie so enjoyable is it gives you the point of view of mostly the main characters.
Everyone that revolves around, and it's brought up several times.
Yes.
That Augie is the son, and they're all both, I mean, he's the universe, and everyone around him. But Augie doesn't quite get that all the family's problems are not Augie's problems.
Mm-hmm.
His sister is being neglected by their parents because they're focused on Augie. The mother is now lonely because she doesn't have anything to do. She's at home. And she's worried about her son being mistreated. And the daughter just kind of slips through the cracks. And that's her that's her deals. His friend Jack Will is, of course, trapped between liking Augie, just wanting, I mean, he's a buddy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You go home and you have Star Wars fights with lightsabers and you play video games and it's fun. But also being on the other side of, he can be Augie's friends, or he can be everyone else's friends. Because mm-hmm. if he's Augie's friends, no one's going to be his friend.
Yes.
To a fifth grader, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So Jack Will struggles with that. And I love how it brings it up. There's a moment in the film where there's a blow-up at home, and Augie, once again, you know, says, I'm sorry I'm such a hideous beast and your friends hate me, but it has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
The daughter's friend... that she's having trouble with her best friend, and that way Augie needs to understand that everyone's having problems, not just him. I mean, mm-hmm. his problems are pretty severe compared to everyone else's.
Problem. Yeah.
And that's what I love about this movie, is that it handles it all with such finesse that it's by the end of the movie, you want to stand up and clap, because, mm-hmm. you know, it's you get more points of view than just one, yes. Which I think is wonderful. Yeah.
And, you know, you can tell that because there's points in this movie when you're switching from character to character where you get those extra little tidbits of either dialogue or seeing from the other point of view.
Which you wouldn't get ordinarily, at all. Except through exposition of another kind. But, you know, and that's hard to do. But the movie handles it, the director, Chbosky, handles it very well. I'm very proud of the way he handled that, actually. Wonder is, it really is a wonder. You should definitely watch Wonder. No doubt. I want to say, it's hard to talk about Wonder without spoiling too much more. Mm-hmm. But I would definitely, that's one of my, the movie of the week, for me is Wonder. It may be some people Justice League, but for me it was Wonder. I think that's the better pick.
Yeah.
We have so many superhero movies these days. It almost seems like 3 or 4 a year, you know, it's just... But Wonder's a movie you don't get often.
I totally agree with you.
At least that's my pick.
I give it 3 Owen Wilson wows.
Wow, that's what he does. Wow. And, you know, Owen Wilson has wonderful one-liners, too. In closing, he asks Augie about... He says, Augie, how's your Minecraft city looking? And Augie's like, it's okay, why? And he says, because we might have to go live there soon. As he's walking by the camera, like, perfectly timed.
Yes.
Comedy just, bam, hits you, and it's wonderful.
That was good.
Justice League. Boy, Nick. Unpack this for a few minutes. What do you think?
You know, it's weird because I did enjoy it, but not as much as I would like to.
I agree with you. I was expecting more.
Yeah.
I was really... Given how the producers of the DC Universe have seen the Marvel Universe operating now for years and years. Many Avengers movies, you know, they had a perfect template to follow.
Mm.
But it's not about following a template. Okay, so not all the characters in this movie, all the major characters have their own origin stories.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a big problem, I think. Mm. That may have been rushed because, you know, we had the Batman... we had the Man of Steel origin story. I mean, that we don't know how much they were like, okay, there's now 2 Avengers movies and 1 in the pipeline. We have to get Justice League out. We don't know how much they skipped or how much they put on the back burner because of that. So,
and that's tough. A lot of interesting characters, obviously. But this DC universe, man, the Justice League movie was a step up.
Wonder Woman's still the best DC movie.
It's still below Wonder. It's below Wonder Woman, but
it was a step in the right direction. Yes. I will say that progress is being made.
Exactly.
Ben Affleck still. Why is Ben Affleck still Batman? He's the most unlikely Batman
he
ever.
He didn't look like he wanted to be there.
No, at all. Not at all. Like he paycheck.
And I hate that because I do like Ben Affleck, but God, it just.
I agree.
Maybe that was what put me off a little bit in the movie.
Ben Affleck plays Batman. Henry Cavill reprises Superman. Amy Adams, Lois Lane, Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman, Ezra Miller. Hilarious, by the way. The Flash, Jason Momoa, Aquaman, Ray Fisher, Cyborg. And of course, returning from all the other movies, Jeremy Irons as Alfred, Diane Lane, Connie Nielsen, J.K. Simmons. Ciarán Hinds, I thought, played a pretty good Steppenwolf. Amber Heard, Mira, Joe Morden. The list goes on, but we're focusing on the Justice League members of... It's the superheroes. Let's talk about some misses in this movie. I mean, in the end of, was it Batman vs. Superman, we saw not only him, Superman died by Doomsday's hand, which is in the lore correct. And then in the end, when he's being buried, we see the dirt kind of levitate as he's giving you this. We all know he's not dead.
Exactly.
Come on.
It's showing some type of life.
I was really looking forward to, okay, how are they going to bring him back? How are they going to use Amy Adams? And I was so happy when the movie, the Justice League starts with, it looks like a cell phone video being taken of a kid, like, seeing Superman, super excited talking to him, and one of the kids says, what's your favorite thing about Earth? And he looks away and looks back, and obviously, it's Lois Lane. And he just smiles, but Lois Lane is his answer. Like, so, and then, like, I got really excited, like, yes, they're going with the whole love theme, yes, 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 good job, Justice League. And then, let's just say they dropped the ball. His return... isn't what I expected it to be, given how they set it up, given how they spent so much time on the trailer with him and Amy Adams and the mm-hmm. wonderful music from the end of the first Man of Steel. That wonderful, like, quiet, subdued, almost like piano notes being hit and then the chimes being hit. Just wonderful, like, reflection music. They didn't use that ever. I was very disappointed.
There was one. There's one part of the film where you're just getting a shot, you know, rolling shot, and you catch the paper, the whatever it's called, the newspaper Lois Lane works for.
The Daily Planet.
Yeah, it's some type of tabloid. And it says, "Did they go back to the planet?" And it had Prince, David Bowie, and Superman on it. hilarious print.
I was focused on the writing, but I didn't see the pictures of David Bowie, Prince, too. I didn't see that. That's pretty cool.
That's interesting. That's just a small part of this David movie. Bowie, that...
Prince.
The recruitment of each character was, I don't know.
And from what I understand, the Flash TV show does not play into this at all.
It doesn't. Okay.
I asked around. Someone said that this has nothing to do with the movie. So it's kind of weird to me.
They're two different actors, right?
Or is it? I think so, but it's odd to me that Ezra Miller is not. That is not him. No, he's not.
Okay.
In Flash, on the Netflix show, but it's weird to me how that would be. How that's a thing of why that show exists, but it doesn't play into the DC universe. It's weird.
Yeah.
But well, it is a thing, but...
Well, I mean, in a sense, it plays into whatever universe they're working on, you know, in their old Netflix shows or not.
Of course.
Or their CW shows, I believe that's what it is, but... I don't know. I enjoyed The Flash on here.
As did I.
And I'm excited for what... The Flash is going to get in the future, bring up Flashpoint, but that's a different topic.
He's without a doubt the most likable character in this, him or Aquaman, one of the two.
Yeah.
I mean, Wonder Woman's just, okay, we get it, you're wonderful.
you're beautiful, you're wonderful.
Every Batman is just, unfortunately, he just, God, Ben Affleck, why are you Batman? He's boring, he's uninteresting. I almost prefer Bale, or Nolan's Batman, to be in this. Yeah. I'm sure that... That was a conversation at one time that Bale was like, nope, done. Don't want to do it.
How can we bring Christian Bale halfway in through this movie?
Question you can.
There was, Aquaman. I think it was pretty good, the way they introduced him, the way he was battling how he was in the fake sea. You know, there's not a lot of good CGI hits in this movie. I think you know, talking about Superman.
Right.
You can't tell, but there's a part of this movie where, you know, his mouth is just a little off. It's not apparent, though. I mean, it struck me when I first...
Going into this movie, I was aware that we weren't gonna. They all didn't have backstories. They didn't each have their own movie to start. I'm okay with it. I'm aware of it. But then you have to be very careful how you introduce them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very interested to learn more about the cyborg character.
Yeah.
Victor Stone. We learned that there's a huge connection between him and his father. Why he is the way he is. But he's very interesting. We didn't see enough of him. I'm surprised. I'm like, I want to see more of Cyborg.
Yeah.
I was surprised we didn't see more of him, to be honest, but...
Do you think they cut some of him out?
Maybe. Obviously, there's a ton of footage that didn't get used in the final cut. Because there's tons of footage in the trailers we've seen that didn't make it into the movie. So, maybe there is a bigger cut. Somewhere or sometime. I'm sure the Blu-ray will... As of right now, there's no longer cut, but they're talking about what we're talking about earlier about the longer cut is people wanting it to be released in the theater. That's never gonna happen. No. That's never gonna happen. This movie is what you get in the theater, theatrical release.
Wait till the DVD comes out.
Blu-ray, DVD.
Yeah.
You know, 4K. I'm sure it will look gorgeous. Another miss was this villain, Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
And the boxes are talking about, which I'm okay with.
Mm-hmm.
Batman, I love the opening, by the way. Batman is hunting down this guy who's committing petty theft. He gets him tied up, and then he's attacked by one of Steppenwolf's henchmen,
mm-hmm.
who feeds on fear. They all feed on fear, which is wonderful. And he kills him, and he sees this design, these three cubes. And he completely forgets about the guy he's tied up, the criminal. He just kind of lets him go, and the criminal's talking to him like, what does that mean?
What are you not telling us,
Batman? Like, I kind of wanted that guy to, like, be more important. I kind of wanted him to, like, follow Batman back and, like, find the hideout and be, like, a henchman. I was, like, excited.
Can I be Robin?
Yeah. You see, like, that was an obvious miss for me, is that joking around there and then him following Batman back. Batman, of course, his mind on Doomsday, like, the end of the world, rather than, oh, crap, this guy followed me. Like, so, and then I almost preferred that guy follow Batman back, find the hideout, be like, I want to be a superhero too, which would have been cool because he was a thief when we met him, so that would have been a cool thing. Big miss there. Another big miss, I think, was with Batman and Wonder Woman not expounding on a kind of relationship that I thought was budding between the two.
They have this weird, it's like a, they don't want to talk about it, but you can definitely tell when they're in the same room.
There's some, like, glances.
Yeah.
But those glances may be part of a bigger scene that was shot, or like a bigger scenes that were much larger when they were shooting it, but now got edited down to. So, I mean, who knows on the cutting room floor?
Yeah, exactly.
But I definitely was thinking there was going to be some kind of romance there. And I love how Steve Trevor is mentioned. The best part of the best DC movie was mentioned. Like, Steve Trevor was, without a doubt, the best part of Wonder Woman. And I thought that was hilarious. Batman gets punched in the chest for mentioning Steve Trevor by Wonder Woman. That would have. Destroyed, they would have killed him.
My rib cage.
Broke my stomach is broken.
There's I believe it's when Batfleck is wiping down the his jet or some type of spaceship. It was a mechanical Batman.
Was it? Okay.
Vehicle. But she walks in and he's like, "Oh, I have the best security in the world," and she, says something quick witty. You know, there's that little charm between them.
Of course, and it's I would have 3-hour cut. Of course, I prefer the version that Zack Snyder and Joss Whedon wanted us to see. Of course, I prefer that version. But I mean, I also like, if you're up to me, Jackson, for Lord of the Rings would keep releasing more extendeder versions.
Yeah,
like to the point where they're like 5 hours a piece. I would love that. The more information you get, the better. As long as it's not, like, derogatory and, like, okay, we know that information, we've already established that, why'd you do it again? But it's, this movie definitely is missing stuff from whatever reason. It's shorter than it should be. 2 hours is not a lot of time for a movie of this size.
Yeah, for me, it felt fast-paced and rushed. A little rushed. Yeah.
Yeah, very rushed. Unfortunately, of course, there's the Avengers test. No. It does not come close to what the first Avengers movie was.
Yes.
But then again, I think the first Avengers movie has more likable actors as well.
Yeah.
And I say that because, like, Robert Downey Jr. is just such a good Iron Man. Not to say that Gal Gadot is not a good Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, on a separate, unrelated, Robert Downey Jr. is a wonderful Iron Man.
And speaking of Iron Man and DC, Cyborg is, I mean, like you said, we didn't get much backstory on him. But we're going to be learning about him through all these other films until he doesn't get his...
Well, the question is, when they do these, well, they're going to go back and do the horror origin story, like do like a quick origin story and then fast flash it forward.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do now that you're intertwined so intricately. But we'll see how that goes. I was very disappointed with a lot of other things in Justice League. For example, again, there doesn't seem to be any kind of greater damage or greater threat. I was never worried about them dying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Steppenwolf, he's very powerful as a villain. I was thinking to myself, there's no way this guy's gonna kill any one of them. No way. So not only does he not kill one, but he allows one to come back.
Yeah.
So that's...
Yes.
I was very disappointed with... He seemed like kind of a pushover, almost like Ultron in the second Avengers movie. He was kind of a pushover. He wasn't what I was hoping he would be.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You weren't scared of him. I mean, he had this ultimate goal, but it felt like he wasn't going to finish it. And was he the villain we deserved?
Or the villain that we needed right now? No, I think there should have been a very different villain for the first Justice League movie. I was expecting to spend more time recruiting the Flash,
mm-hmm.
recruiting Cyborg, realizing there's a greater threat coming to Earth, and they cannot fight it alone. They need to find others like them.
Yeah, I think that's where they messed up. Maybe they should have built a team, built it up to the ending to where we get a little taste of maybe what's happening in the next Justice League movie that we could have had 2-3 years down the line.
Well, I was really hoping that they would try to fight Steppenwolf. Obviously, there's the trio, which is now the duo of Wonder Woman and Batman, because Superman in the beginning of the movie is dead. They recruit, obviously, a very reluctant Aquaman, the Flash, and Cyborg. It's almost like I almost prefer them fighting Steppenwolf, having one encounter with him, realizing that they cannot best this guy. He's going to kill them. He's going to kill, like, destroy. And then them appealing to... The Flash is a young kid, appealing to his... You know, Batman catches him with his superior, you know, technology and intellect, catching the Flash in a trap so he can't zip away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's... And saying, you can help us or you cannot. But if you don't, we lose.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
Yeah.
And then, of course, recruiting him that way. It's kind of how Cyborg gets recruited, in a way... The Flash is kind of coming along because he's excited more than anything. He's intrigued. He's not scared.
I think he's fanboying over Batman.
That's what it is. You know, and all the comedy comes from the Flash, which I think is wonderfully well timed. The Flash comedy is wonderful.
If there is a change in Batman in the next coming years, I definitely want the Flash to say some type of joke, some type of joke under his breath. Yeah.
God, you look different all the time.
Just throughout the movie, every now and then. Yeah, from this angle, man, I don't know. It's just, there's something about you.
Maybe it's your jawline. I don't know. Something about you just look different. And whoever's playing Batman just looks at him. Like, yeah, of course. Yeah, no, he's definitely the source of the comedy, I hope, we will get from now on.
Yeah.
I definitely say watch this movie. I kind of went back and forth in this. So watch it. Because of what's going on in the Marvel Extended Universe, definitely check out the DC Extended Universe. The question is, do you watch in the theater or do you wait for the Blu-ray extended? If you haven't seen it already, do you watch it now or do you wait for the extended? The inevitable will be happening at some time, though it's not yet extended cut.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's going to be not just 10 minutes, like 40 minutes longer. So to me, I just wait for the extended cut.
Yeah.
Though you're not going to see it with the sound and the picture, wait for the extended cut.
Yeah.
It's probably a better option if you're a big fan. You'll see more of what you love. But I think for the movie of the week, Wonder takes that one.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree. Justice League is a good watch. But if you're looking for some good quality movie, Wonder.
You won't go wrong with Wonder. And you'll even shed a tear, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
And for this week's Clark Hayes list of movies you'll probably know and or be able to reference, I went with To Kill a Mockingbird, 1962. With director Robert Mulligan, Gregory Peck, Frank Overton, Robert Duvall, Ruth White. It is relevant this week because of Wonder, because of Justice League. It actually goes hand in hand with these two. It is, as you know, Boo Radley is a kid in the neighborhood who is just like Augie Pullman in Wonder. He is, you know, he looks different. People look at him as hideous, a monster. So he's... got that side, and Atticus Finch, though not a superhero, he's a very famous lawyer, which is a different kind of hero in a way, seeking justice like our Justice Members League are, they've united to for the common good. Famous lawyer Atticus Finch must defend an African-American man against a rape charge while helping his children learn the real meaning of justice. This goes hand in hand with his children and Boo Radley. just like most of the school kids with Augie Pullman in Wonder. Number one, there's always reasons with Clark Hayes. Number one, the relevance. This movie's always relevant. Harper Lee published in 1960. Harper Lee is the author. Book was published in 1960. It's always going to be read. It's in classrooms. It's a wonderful teaching tool. It's also a great book. It's timeless, really. And Gregory Peck is powerful in many movies, but especially in this one. He's a force to be reckoned with, especially as Atticus Finch. He was almost perfectly cast as Atticus Finch. And as you all know, in lawyers they make closing statements, summations, and he makes a very powerful one, Atticus Finch, asking the jury, in the name of God, do your duty. In the name of God, believe Tom Robinson. I couldn't deliver it quite as well as Gregory Peck does, but boy, that movie's still good. It's never not going to be good. That's the Clark Hayes submission for this week. Very relevant. Thank you for listening to the episode. As always, you can check us out on, we post on Apple. You can download us or subscribe. You can download, each episode downloads to your device. You can have it, listen to it in the, in traffic or however. We're also available on Google Play. You can check out the Facebook at For Love of Cinema page. Twitter at Love Cinema Pod. We're also available on Podbean if that's how you want to download us. By all means, as always, I'm available at Grayson Maxwell 1. Nick
and Moore 1776.
Ladies, you know what to do. Hit them up.
Hey, at me. Come on now.
And as always, have a good evening. Thank you for listening to the show. We hope you enjoyed it. And we hope you enjoy some Wonder Justice League action. Thank you.
Good chat.